to say that I know from this church a lot of you have been praying for Gordon over decades, probably. His wife's been here many years, isn't she? And I befriended him just at a coffee shop I was working in. And about a year ago when I was here, I think he came here, didn't he, with his family. He's passed away, but I had the privilege of praying with him just before he died, and him finally giving away to Jesus and having communion with him. Probably not, actually.
So I had a privilege of praying with Gordon before his dad and sharing communion with him. I just thought I'd like to share that with you because I know that it means a lot to people here. And unfortunately, I won't be there for his funeral because I'm looking after a church on the Isle of Wight. So a bit conflicted there, but it was a wonderful opportunity to have. Also, for mothers, I just want to say, and grandmothers particularly,
never stop praying for your children or your grandchildren. I've heard so many
testimonies recently of, oh yeah, if I came to Jesus because my grandmother kept praying for me. Do you know what I mean? I said, wow, that's another grandmother testimony. And, you know, I don't know if anyone saw the Brits last week, but the singer called Ray, who sort of wiped the board at 8 awards, when she got Best Album, she brought her gran on stage. And she said, my gran prays for me till 3 in the morning. She had a wonder. So it's just, don't stop praying for your kids because they're worth it, yeah? And even like with Gordon at the last minute, people can still come through for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for this opportunity to meet again and to be in your presence. And I pray you'll be with us as we look at part of your story and then we look at our own story, and we thank you that you're there in our story and that you're there in our lives, and we just want to give you thanks and praise for that. Amen. Amen. I'll just switch myself on. Cool. I want to share with you today about one of my favourite evangelists, Joel. Now that's not his real name, I just called him that because I don't like his nickname that we give him, the Gadarene Demoniac. Hey, how's it going, Gadarene Demoniac? It's not really very nice, is it? So I'm going to call him Joel. But first of all, I want to look at the day the disciples were having. So first of all, it's going all right. There's some great parables they were listening to, including, don't put your light under a basin. Put your light out there. And then Jesus said to them, as the day was closing in, push the boat out to the other side of the lake, which is a long way, several miles. Now, two things. Most of them didn't like being on the sea. Jews didn't. They were frightened of the sea. Fishermen, okay. The rest of them, they did not want to go out of the lake. And Jesus wasn't saying, just take it down further, down the shore to another Jewish enclave. He's saying, go right across to Gentile territory on the other side of the lake. None of them liked being with Gentiles, none of the disciples. So none of them wanted to do this trip, but they did it. Why? Because they were obedient, weren't they? Obedient to their rabbi Jesus. So they get into the boat, they go out onto the lake. Jesus is tired, he lies down in the helmsman's place, goes to sleep, and their fears are realized that a sharp storm comes in, and the boat is drowning, the waves are coming in. They all think they're going to die. They wake up Jesus. They make a complaint. Jesus stands up, as you know, says, wind and waves, shut up. And it all calms down. He tells the disciples off for not having enough faith in him. I'm in the boat with you. What's the matter with you guys? And then he takes them over to the other side of the lake. Now, the area, as the Bible tells us, is the area of the region of the Gerasenes or the Gadarenes. What it was that where he landed, the nearest town was Gadara, a few miles. Further south was the city of Gesara. That's where it's the region. But the truth is, he was in the middle of nowhere. It was a remote place that he'd brought the boat up. So the disciples get out. Again, they don't want to be there really. And they start walking up the slopes. And ahead of them is swineherders and 2,000 pigs. The Jews don't like pigs, do they? They're walking to these pigs, and then they realize they're actually walking into a graveyard. The caves they're walking towards are tombs. So, do you know that in the film Wizard of Oz, right at the beginning, it starts off in black and white, like all films were in those days, really. And the
house is caught up in the cyclone,
and it's moved miles away.
It lands,
and then the little girl, Dorothy, comes out, and as she walks out through the door, it turns into full Technicolor, doesn't it? And there's all these amazing plants and roads, and she says to her little dog, "Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore." I just wonder if it was a bit like that, you know. Sort of Thaddeus elbows the disciple next to him and says, "This isn't much like Capernaum, is it?" You know, it's a little strange. They're on the other side of the lake. And when they thought things couldn't get any worse, out of one of the tombs comes running towards them a madman who's naked, super strong, and he's screaming. What he's screaming is actually at Jesus. You know, "What are you doing here? You know, we know who you are. You're the Son of God." Now, at that point, the disciples didn't know who Jesus was. The Pharisees didn't know who Jesus was, but the demons do. You know, in the spiritual world, it's obvious who he is. "What are you doing here? It's not your time yet. You come to torture us." And he tells them to go, and they go immediately. And he says, "Well, who are you? What's your name?"
And they say,
"We're Legion." Now, the region there
is a Roman area.
It's Greek. It's the 10 cities, the Decapolis. And it's a Roman word. And it's about 4,000 to 7,000 soldiers. Basically, there's a lot of demons in this man, Joel. And they beg Jesus, don't get us out of this area. Please let us stay here. Let us go into the pigs. So they're pleading with Jesus, aren't they? And he says, "Okay, go into the pigs." Now, pigs might seem like a good host for demons because Jews don't like pigs, but they really weren't. So the moment that the demons swirl in their angry mist and leave this poor man, they descend on the pigs, and what happens? The pigs are spooked, aren't they? And they're up on the higher pastures. They all start panicking because something's come into them, and they start running. They start stampeding. Of course, they're stampeding down this slope, and then at the end of the slope is this cliff, and they can't stop themselves, and they pour over the cliff, and they're all killed. And then the guys looking after the pigs, they run off. They're frightened. They run back to the villages. So we have this confrontation between good and evil that's happening around this man, Joel. And he's left there. And what state is he in? He's completely healed, isn't he? So Joel has been transformed. The demons have left him, and he's there of right mind. And I think what happens next, I think they clean him up. They give him a spare tunic. And then when the people come back, I think it's probably the next day because it was quite late when they arrived. So they may have had a fish supper and then slept there. And then when the next morning, I think they would have come back with the crowd come back, and the swineherd said, "Look, that's the madman. Okay. That's okay." So that's right. They were a lot. So they came from the village. They were alarmed. What had happened? And they point out, "Yeah, that was the madman, and that's the magician that made all our pigs jump into the ocean." And they're frightened. "We don't want you in our town. Will you please go, Jesus? You know, will you please go away and never come back?" And this man, who they can see, is completely transformed. Joel, he goes to Jesus and says, "Can I come with you? Can I follow you?" Now, this is a Gentile man who wants to follow a Jewish rabbi. "Please, can I follow you?" What does Jesus say? No,
"But I don't want you
to follow me. But what I do want you to do is go back to your family." And because he would have been, when he first had the demons come in, I don't know what he'd done. He gave them permission to come in somehow, so he may have been involved in some occultic activity, but they came in. And he was cast out of his synagogue, cast away from his family, that he would have been tied up in ropes, he broke them, tied up in chains, he broke them. So he was just, "What, you're going to live in the caves. You're too dangerous to have in the towns." And so he went, go back to your family and tell them, I'm not a magician. Tell them what God has done in your life and what transformation God has done for you. But what he actually does, he doesn't just go back to his family, he goes through all of the 10 cities and tells them the goodness of God, you know. And then, is it, what impact did Joel have? Well, it's interesting that later in Jesus' ministry, he returns with his disciples down to that side of the lake, into the Decapolis. And it says that everybody brought the sick to Jesus, and every person was healed. This is a level of faith he's not seen in Capernaum. He's not seen in Galilee. This is happening in the Decapolis. And this is where you also get the feeding of the 4,000. So, and these guys weren't just there for a day, like the 5,000 were, who were Jews, but they're there for 3 days camping out, 4,000 men, perhaps women and children, maybe 10,000 people, because they were hungry to hear more of Jesus. And I think a lot of that was to do with the story that Joel told, wasn't it? That story released faith in people. Now, what were the disciples learning from this? Because whenever they're with Jesus, they're in the classroom, if you like. Now, in those days, they saw there were five levels of authority. Highest level is God. Second highest level is, they said, sons of God or archangels. Then all the other spirits, so all the other demons and angels, are level three. Humans, level four. Animals, level five. Okay, so if the authority structure is that I'm a human, so I can have authority over the animals. But if I let demons into my life, they can control me. But to control demons, you've got to be in the rare atmosphere of level one God or level two. The archangels were Michael and Lucifer. Lucifer, Satan. So you've got to be up in that rare atmosphere to be able to control demons. So that's why when Jesus cast out demons, the Pharisees thought, well, Jesus is not God, so he must be working with the devil. He must be Satan's pawn to be able to do this. That's why those conversations happen in the Bible. What Jesus is showing his disciples is he's not operating at level four like they are. He's operating at level one or two, isn't he? To have control over demons, he's got to be up there, either God or Son of God, archangel. He's got to be that sort of level. And the disciples had to learn that Jesus has that authority from God, not just over the wind and waves, but over all the demons. No matter where he is, not just in Galilee, but in Gentile land, he has the ultimate authority, because what's going to happen soon is he's going to send them out, isn't he? And they've got to do what Jesus did. And he gives them that authority, that Holy Spirit, when he sends out the 12, later when he sends out the 72, which also goes into Gentile lands then, he gives them that authority. We know that authority as the Holy Spirit, don't we? He gives us the Holy Spirit. It means that we can operate at that level. As followers of him, we can have his authority. But what's interesting with Joel is, what has he got in his armoury? He's not got the Holy Spirit, has he? He's just got what? He's just got his story, isn't he? He's just got his testimony. And he's not walking out in power and in strength. He had supernatural power, but it's gone, isn't it? That went with the demons. He goes out in his weakness. And I think this is the beauty of this story, is that Jesus says that we have the authority from the Holy Spirit, now that we're Christians, to step out in our weakness and share our stories. Joel didn't have the Holy Spirit, he just had his stories, but he still steps out in weakness. What he did have was his time and his story. And we've all got that, haven't we? You know, we may not see ourselves as superhuman, as super Christian, great testimonies, but we still got a story. So I want to just share a bit about my story. So I've just written a book called See Miracles, which explains the path I've been on and how to live more in that supernatural life. Okay, and I was asked 2 weeks ago to share this on UCB National Christian Radio. Now, previous night, I'd been up all night coughing. I was feeling really weak. I thought, I've got to do this interview. So I'm there in my weakness. I've got a glass of water. I've got all sorts of cough sweets. I thought, I'm going to do this. It's over Zoom. I'm going to do this interview. And the interviewer was wonderful. And she steps me through my testimony. And I was sharing stories like first time I went out to Macedonia, and the lady with the deaf ear was healed in a conference, the first one I prayed for there. There was people who had pains throughout their bodies were being healed of their pains. I shared a story from Africa where there were nine Maasai ladies who all had a spirit of anxiety which was causing them physical pains in their head, chest and stomach, and they were all healed. So she taught me through my story, my testimony. And then she said to me, will you pray for my listeners? I said, yeah. So, but I started praying using those experiences. I prayed deaf ears. I prayed pains in their bodies, and those with anxiety.
And then before the end of the radio
set, I was on there for an hour, she said, I've got, Kevin, to encourage you, I've got messages are coming in. Karen has been in her car listening to us. She's had partial deafness in her left ear. As you shared your testimony, her hearing's come back. Kevin's written in on WhatsApp. He said, I've had pains in my shoulders for months and months. As Kevin prayed, I laid my hand on my shoulder and the pain's gone. Another lady rings in and said, my ear is like, doctor describes it as a crash site. But I can now hear you clearly because my hearing's been restored. And there was one lady who sent a voice message, and I want to quote her because I love this. It was from Nicole from Chorley. And she says, I was listening to the gentleman talking about the group healing for the woman with anxiety and the spirit of fear. And I have been having exactly the same thing over me for many months. As he was speaking about it, it has gone. And my own pain has gone. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. This is amazing. Thank you, God. Bless you, darlings. So that was really nice. As we share our stories, what I realise is happens is that it releases faith in people. So I'm sharing my stories with people. I said, oh yeah, God can do this. Is this possible even in my life? And the moment I pray, those who have received that faith, like, start getting healed. And I think each of us, we have different stories, but everybody has a story about Jesus. You all have a story about what Jesus has done in your life. I think whenever you share that, it's like taking a little slice of heaven, a little slice of heaven's cake, and offering it out. And some people with the appetite will eat it and have part of the divine, you know. Others will reject it, but some will eat that. That's why we share our story. But where will we share our story? You know, where does God want you to share your story? Does he want you to go to the other side of the lake? Or does he want you just, like the disciples had to, go outside their comfort zone? That might be for you, not a physical lake, although it does get quite flooded around here at times, doesn't it? It might be going to perhaps visiting someone in a different nursing home, or going to a different place of work to talk to somebody, or just something outside your comfort zone. Or it may be they're saying, no, I want you to stay where you are, but just get your story out there with the people and friends and families that you know. Share that story. With them, share that story. Because it's not in our strength we go, it's in our weakness. You know, the scriptures tell us that his power is made perfect, not in our intelligence, not in our academia, in our physical ability, but in our weakness. It's as we step out in our weakness, with his story on our lips, that the Holy Spirit can do amazing things. Powerful things. So that's my prayer, really. You know, recognize the spiritual world we live in, the battle we live in. You know, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And make yourself available to follow Jesus. Because you only use one type of person, and that's the person that's available, isn't he? Make yourself available, have a story on your lips, and expect the Holy Spirit to speak through you and do great things. Amen. Should we pray into that?
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, that we all have a story
of you coming into our life and changing our life,
of transforming our life in some way. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll give us the confidence to
follow where you're leading us and to go and speak our story into their hearts, into their lives, and let
do amazing things.
We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to take a little commercial break before we
close up. with the books that I've got, I really believe that on your friends, £10 on Amazon, but they are, I give all the money to the charity. So today they're, I'd say, £8 or £12 for two. If you want them, please do. And all that money will go to the Mission of Macedonia, which is the charity I run, where a lot of the miracles and testimonies that I've got in there are from. And thank you again for having me. I'm always blessed by coming here. I've got a long association with the church, and I just love being amongst you. So thank you very much for having me. Bless you.